When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Cop Out Podcast. It is Reds in Europe, where we will be talking about the mouth-watering quarterfinal tie against Real Madrid. Support for the Cop Out Podcast is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels, which you can't say any further than that. Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. Join the movement for all your below-the-waist grooming needs and get 20% off plus free delivery with the code COPHYPEPOD at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you, as Mick likes to say, as we all like to say, to be fair. So with me tonight, as usual, is Mick Moran. We've got Matt Marieris, and we've got Tim Father. Champions League. I'm just going to throw that in there, like, with the Champions League. Absolutely love it. Boys, welcome to the show tonight. I have been looking forward to this all fucking week. I'll be honest with you, the Arsenal game, I mean, granted, I wasn't on the preview show and the review show because I was too pissed. It was my son's third birthday, so I do apologise. But this is the game I've been fucking looking forward to talking about. So, Mick, you know, how you feeling, boy?
I honestly can't wait. Like, on that one we were on last time, the was it the Arsenal preview? It was. It might as well have been the Real Madrid preview, man, because we were just chatting about it the entire time. But yeah, it feels like this is the crunch time. This is where, yeah, this is where it gets juicy, coming up against Real Madrid at the Bernabeu. Proper heavyweight of the competition. They've won it, 13 times? We've won it 6. We're going for 7. They're going for 14. So it's going to be boss. I can't wait, honestly.
Yeah, Matt, it's been a tie that when the draw was made, we said, didn't we, Matt? And I know, Matt, you were quite passionate about getting Real Madrid, wasn't you, before the draw even happened? You were saying, I really want them. And you've been saying it for a long time, though, haven't you, Matt? Because you've wanted the revenge and you've wanted to sort of nibble at Real Madrid after what happened in Kiev. So there's obviously the news that there's no Ramos in the squad. I don't think there's any Eden Hazard as well. So yeah, Matt, are you feeling a little bit more confident, or you still got a bit of anxiety about it?
No, I've got no anxiety whatsoever. I'm buzzing for this. This is going to be like we're going to trounce them. I've wanted Madrid for a while, and last time, when was it? When we got to Kiev the first time, everyone was saying how Liverpool had an easy run to the final. This is why I want a knock a Madrid out. Because, I mean, they're in bits and they can't defend whenever Ramos isn't with them. They just look rubbish without Ramos. So even better, hopefully he's watching in the stands and hiding behind his fingers, because we're going to...
Love that.
Don't worry, everybody. I'm not going to play that fucking video again, so don't worry. It's pointless now because Ramos isn't even bothering the fucking turn up for the squad. So my video is irrelevant, but I enjoyed it anyway. Tim Father, how are you feeling about it, mate? Because there's been a lot of talk over the last few days about the Kabak and Phillips partnership, and one thing that I've loved about that is all this stats coming about, you know, they kept a clean sheet, they haven't conceded in X amount of minutes, you know, they played another great game against Arsenal at the weekend. So the solidity about the side right now is really good, and I think optimism is quite rife in the fan base right now, isn't it, Tim?
Yeah, I'd say so. And, you know, this one of the things that I think a lot of people are forgetting, that this isn't a Madrid team of old, where this is a team full of packed full of stung young star power, even. You know, they don't really have many guys on the pitch that are going to change the game. Obviously, Ramos being out and that kind of stuff. So you'd actually look at our defence and probably have them as the better back line at the moment. I think Carvajal's out as well, so they're probably going to be not only thin at the back, but a little bit inexperienced, which for a Real Madrid team that's ageing and that seems to be working together a little better through you know, with the players that have been there a while, is a bad thing for them and obviously a good thing for us. And kind of Hal being a right back, hopefully that allows Mane and Robertson to really have freedom down that left wing. So yeah, you have to be confident going in. You know, the last couple of weeks, well, obviously barring the international break, the last few results, Champions League and Premier League, you've got to think that things are starting to trend towards more what we've been expecting rather than the months previous. So yeah, it's going to be a good tie. It's certainly going to be interesting. So yeah, I'm up for this one.
Absolutely. Mick, go on.
I was going to say, and Tim's dad's in. And after the last pod, that was just, I love him already. I don't even know the guy. I know him from three comments and I already love him. So there, shout out
yeah,
to Tim.
Yeah, I caught that after I watched it the next day and I caught that and I just thought, what a fucking legend. Absolutely. To be fair, he's that much of a legend because you produced him anyway. So let's give him a fucking pop for that anyway. You know what I mean? So. This gorgeous human came out of his ball sack, so we'll love that. Yeah. Speaking of ball sacks, we're sponsored by manscaped.com. 20% off using the code COPIPOD. There we go. Mick, when we look at the way Kiev went, obviously in 2018, it's a different kettle of fish right now, isn't it? Because we're not the same Liverpool side, even though a lot of those players that played in Kiev are going to be playing tomorrow. There's still a massive difference in the sides, isn't there? Especially from the Madrid perspective, like the lads alluded to earlier. But from your perspective, Mick, as a Liverpool fan who, you know, has grown up and you went through, I love it, and you went through the Kiev thing just like we all did, this has just got that extra bite because of that Kiev stuff, hasn't it? Like, Kiev hurt. It really did because of the... because of how, you know, Madrid never outplayed us. It was a couple of fuck-ups that cost us that final. That's why this is like... We're fucking avenues tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm looking at you, Matt, because I know you were like, oh, leave him alone. Don't talk about Karius. He's a lovely guy. I mean, Klopp was saying before, weren't he, in his presser, like, it's not about revenge. And of course, they're going to be saying that, but there's going to be a major part of it is going to be Salah wants to get one over on, obviously Ramos isn't playing, but get one over on Madrid. And there's a lot of players, like you said, Jay, that are still in the team that were then. And we want to set the record straight and get a bit of revenge and set ourselves up for the second leg. So it's there's quite a few layers to it, which is all good layers for us because we need to come out firing. And if we play like we said, like the last three games, we've won three in a row. We're picking up the momentum at the perfect time here. So I'm absolutely pumped for this, especially after that Arsenal game where we were just dominant from minute one all over the field. So I honestly can't wait for this one because I just want to see. I want to see Phillips and Kabak up against maybe some more quality. I want to see Hotter from the start maybe. And I think Klopp also got asked, would he start all four of the front three? I was going to say all four of them, and he said, "I'm not giving away secrets away." But I think he might. To be honest, it wouldn't surprise me if he did because I thought Bobby was really sharp in the Arsenal game. Obviously, Hotter comes on, scores too. So there's a case for them all. So. I'm interested to see what he goes with because, like we said, there's plenty of options now, and I think that's coincided with us starting to get a bit more momentum.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point, mate. Momentum is such a strong word when it comes to this point of the season, does it? You always look at the calendar. Whenever the fixtures come out, Matt, we always look at the calendar, don't we? Like March, April, May. Where's trophies going to be won and lost in that period? You know, when you're going for league titles, and when does the Champions League fall in between each fixture? You know, praying that you hopefully. You get to that stage. But Matt, in terms of how, let's remember, this is the first leg, you know, this isn't a final, this isn't the second leg at the end of the day. Still a lot of football to be played. We're away, whether that matters right now, I don't know, because there's no fucking fans. You know, it'd be nice to go back to the Bernabeu and play there again. And, you know, Brendan Rodgers isn't in charge of the side this time, runs the Bernabeu. So hopefully we'll get a strong fucking side in the Bernabeu. But Matt, how do you see the game going? Do you see Klopp thinking, fuck it, I want at least two goals in this game? Or do you reckon he's going to play it cautious?
No, I think he's going to go for it. Genie will start. And that's going to be good for us because there's a lot of energy into the midfield and their midfield is aging, as is well documented. So that'll be good. And like Mr. Farmer says, just intense and get at them, you know, without Ramos at the back, they're shaky. I mean, was it Donetsk, Shakhtar that smashed them
yeah.
in the group stage? They just went for it. because they knew that Madrid going forward was stronger than they were, so they went for it and it did them well. So I think that'll be the thing again. So I think Gini will start in midfield and just not give them any time there, and then I think he'll go all four and just try to drown their defence out, because I mean that they are weak at the back without Ramos. As I've said, Varane looks also like a completely different defender without Ramos next to him. So we just got to load them. You look, they bottled it last year against City, and I think they're going to do it again.
Joe, it's interesting that you say that, Matt, about the not the bottling part, the starting all four of the strike force. Tim, do you agree with that, or do you think that what happened at the weekend where he played Firmino and then he brought Jota on obviously made an impact? Do you think that it'll be the same again with Firmino starting at the Bernabeu and then Jota coming on, or do you think it being flipped?
I reckon it'll probably be flipped. I reckon that he might bring Firmino into the midfield if we're looking to create more going forward, kind of towards the end of the game, especially if we haven't scored yet, or if if we haven't scored yet, or if the game's getting waning, or we're 1-0 down and we need a goal. So, yeah, I'd like to see Firmino pushed back into the midfield at some stage in this game. I think that he'll be key because of his movement to kind of work. Make sure that Casemiro is doing work so that he's wearing out his legs and stuff like that towards the end of the game. Casemiro.
Fucking love this shit. Carry on.
Yeah, I mean I think it's key as well that we do play the two holding guys. I think Fab and Thiago played really, really well alongside each other this past weekend and did such a great job at keeping Arsenal in their half. And Ceballos and the Arsenal midfield kind of, or at least the midfield three that they represented is just very similar in terms of their style of play into what Madrid kind of put out as well. They play two more controlling attacking players, great on the ball, and Casemiro as a centre defensive midfielder like Partey does, who tries to control the game. Obviously, Madrid's three have a shed load more quality than Arsenal's three, but at the same time, you know, aging legs and stuff, and that's the kind of midfield that you want to be facing if you're Liverpool, especially considering the work rate of the midfielders we tend to put out. So that's to me is the key area of the pitch. I think that, you know, going forward and backwards, I think we're going to be okay. I think that, you know, at the moment we seem to be in our goal scoring form, so I don't really think it mattered whether Ramos was fit or not. I think it's a plus that he isn't, but at the same time, I think we probably would have bagged a goal or two tomorrow whether he was playing, even if he was on the field. So, and I think Kabak and Phillips look great and the front four looking good. So, you know, the battle to be won is in the midfield, and if we can outwork them and make those old legs kind of, you know, push for a full 90, and they need to start, you know, delve into their bench a little bit and bringing on some inexperienced youth, then it's all the better for us.
Yeah, too right, mate. Got really good points there. Mick, Chris Kelly's just put in that it's got to be Varane and Nacho at centre-back tomorrow. I think so. I think that's how those two will go up and against. And I think it might be a little bit mouthwatering for our front three or front four, depending on who you're playing, won't it, Mick, against them? There's definitely encouragement when Ramos doesn't play, because even though Varane's still a very, very good centre-back, I think his game is taking up a level when Ramos is next to him. And Ramos, we all know what a great player he is, even though he's a dark art bastard anyway. I think Salah and Mane, Firmino and Jota will be looking at that going, yeah, I'm having a bit of this tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm just having a look while you guys were talking there about their last game against Eibar. They beat them 2-0 on Saturday. It looked like they played a three, Militao, Nacho and Ferland Mendy, and then they had Marcelo and Vazquez as wing-backs. So if they do that, like we proved against Leipzig, if you go with a back three, if you've got coming up against our front three, then you've got nothing down for you in current form anyway. But where are we going here? Someone just said Gini comes in. Where is it? There he is, Chris. And I do agree with that. I think it probably will be straight swap Millie for Gini and then straight swap Bobby for Hotter, to be honest. Although I would love to see all four, but all I don't four. Know. Yeah, I just don't know. Maybe if we were home first, that might be a shout, but he might be a bit too risky for Klopp too early on in this game for that one. But yeah, Gini's got to come in, because Gini looked really good when he came on as well against Arsenal. So it's going to be interesting to see how they set up, if they go for a 4-4-2 or 4-3-3. But we'll know straight away once that lineup comes out how they're going to set up and how they're going to maybe try and contain us and counter attack. So I honestly can't wait for this one. It should be one of the better games of the season. It's obviously our biggest so far. So that's why we're all pumped. And yeah, there's obviously Man City and Dortmund and all those other ties as well. So I can't wait to sit down in front of the telly and watch this one.
Good shout. Matt, I just want to come on to this comment that Ben's just said. I didn't get catch the Arsenal game. Is there a case we made for Jota replacing Mane? And Marcus has put Jota's the first name on the team sheet. He simply must start. I tell you what, Marcus, you're sounding more like your dad every week. I love it. Absolutely love it. Let's take both of those comments and I'm going to throw them at you, Matthew. Does that make sense from what, you know, what Ben said, about Jota replacing Mane, or you simply can't drop Mane in this? And is Jota the first name on the team sheet? Because he has earned it. Over to you, Matt.
You don't drop Mane for this, especially with them not having their first choice right back. Mane gets at whoever's playing right back, let alone a second choice. I do think having been rested most of the Arsenal game, Jota should definitely be one of the first names on the team sheet. I don't think he would have been rested if he wasn't earmarked to start tomorrow night. So I'm sure Klopp's gone, all right, Jota's starting, Genie's starting, and then he's building the squad around that. But yeah, I think Jota needs to start. I think Maya needs to start. In an ideal world for me, Bobby and Salah start as well, but it is highly likely that it's only going to be one of those three. And if anyone's going to get dropped, probably is Bobby, just to get that clinical finish in all the front three.
Yeah. Tim, are you on that sort of offensive, like, you know, because I know you've said you'd rather have all four starting, but saying in that world where that doesn't happen, which we've all sort of come to a little bit of an agreement that Gini Wijnaldum plays, because obviously his contribution against Arsenal, hence the sarcasm in that sentence then. Do you see a world where Mane gets dropped for Jota and it's Firmino and Salah? Or do you not see that happening?
Honestly, if we're being really kind of, you know, critical about it, I think that he's probably been the most out of form of the front three of compared to what we've come to expect of him in terms of output. Would I drop him? I don't think so. I really don't. I think that he's a guy that turns up in these big games. You know, that the first game that comes to my mind is that Bayern Munich game away. And yeah, he's the kind of guy that he changes the game, you know, at the drop of a shoulder. You know, he's that kind of quality, and he's been out of form, but again, you know, he's a big game player. You know, he'll be raring up for this one. You know, there's, you know, Salah, Mane, they've all been linked to Madrid over the last kind of 3 years, so he'll be wanting to bury that, because he's said that he's happy at Liverpool, so he'll be wanting to bury that with a goal or two over the couple of legs. And yeah, for me, you know, I unfortunately see Bobby getting dropped. I feel like this would be a good game for him, because I think he would work the defensive midfielders a little better, because obviously he's dropping into space a little bit more, and you know, that would make the midfield work more. I think that Mane, Jota, or Salah, or any one of them sitting out, I think that the combination of any three of them is going to give that backline problems, whether they set up with four or with a three. And if they set up with a three, I see it being worse for them, to be honest. It seems that every time a team plays a three against us, we kill them with balls over the top with the pace in behind. So yeah, I don't see him being dropped, to be honest.
Fair enough, mate. Dan just put Klopp might be thinking about getting as many away goals as possible so could start the four attackers. Dan said he personally wouldn't, just so we have quality sub option if we go behind. I think it's a really good point. And I think you don't want to put all your cards on the table straight away. Now, one more question coming straight to you, Mick. And then after that, I've got a quiz question for the three of you. Okay, so be on your toes for this one. And I'm springing it on you so none of you can fucking Google it, okay? And I've got it spot on as well, right? Mick, is there a world where Thiago doesn't start this game? And the reason why I've come to you is because obviously we go to Thiago camp. Let's just load up Thiago camp. Go. Is there a world where Thiago doesn't start?
The answer is there's never a world where Thiago doesn't start. There's your answer. No, there's no way. There's no way. Like, it's one of those games where ball retention is going to be key. So we can't be like Mr. Father said, We need to neutralise Modric, and Fabinho will do that very well, but we also need to keep the ball, and Thiago is the best of that, and I think he was top of all our opposition forward passes in Arsenal's half. Loads of other stats, passes, dribbles, whatever else, he was top of everything against Arsenal, so he's starting to get himself into form as well himself, so you don't drop him of his quality in a game of this magnitude, because we need him on the field and providing what he does best. So not a chance, although it wouldn't surprise me, to be honest, if it does happen, but I can't see it.
You just don't want it to happen, do you?
I don't want it to happen.
You'll probably turn off. Klopp
just surprises you now and again, doesn't he? But I'd be very surprised if he rests Thiago for this one.
Fair enough. Right, you ready for your quiz question? Okay, so what's going to happen is I'm going to ask you to name the ten players, okay, that have played for both Real Madrid and Liverpool. I'm going to come to you one by one, and you've got 10 seconds per person to answer just one, and you've got to do it as a team. Are you ready? Okay, so the first person I'm coming to is Tim. You've got 10 seconds.
McManaman.
Correct, that's one. Matt, go.
Alonso.
Mick.
Dudek.
Tim.
Arbeloa.
Fuck.
Matt.
Shit. Morientes.
Correct. Oh, 2 seconds this bird, otherwise you would have been out. Mick.
That was my one. Oh, no.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Mick, you're out. Sorry, mate. Tim.
I'm spent. I can't think of any more.
Oh, Matt!
Don't look at the comments.
You've won by default, mate.
Oh my God! I can't believe I forgot Owen.
I'll go through the list. You've got Xabi Alonso. You've got Nicolas Anelka, Alvaro Arbeloa, Jerzy Dudek, Steve McManaman, Fernando Morientes, Antonio Nunes, Michael Owen, Nuri Sahin, and Fabinho. Because he was on loan at Real Madrid.
Oh, of course he was. Yeah.
There you go. So there's your 10 double agents. Well done to Marcus and Ben in the comments for getting Morientes and Michael Owen. I was going to throw a Michael Owen stat in there, but I'm not going to, because I don't want to piss anybody off. Go on.
I'm only disappointed by the Owen one. The other ones I would have never remembered Fabinho or Nuri Sahin. They're just like fucking hell.
Yeah. Exactly. Good. That's a good question, that, mate. And that's why I like to just throw it on you, because, you know, I don't want any pre googling or anything like that. It's just it's a nice little bit of fun. So we did for you. That was one, Michael. So Tim, I want to come to you now in terms of progression of this tie now. So if Liverpool were to get a 0-0 draw let's just call it a fucking draw. They get a draw tomorrow night. Are you walking away from that game going, yeah, all right, I'll take that?
Especially if it's a goal draw. If it's 1-1 or 2-2, if we score a couple of times and draw, I wouldn't be upset. You know, if the press, as long as the pressure's not on us coming back to Anfield or wherever the hell the tie's going to play, Puskas Arena. You know, I wouldn't be unhappy with it. At the end of the day, you've got to take what's given to you, and you know, this is an experienced Madrid side that's going to be playing at home and raring to go to prove that, you know, the final wasn't more than just mistakes made by us, that they were the better team regardless. And you know, this is a team that's, you know, will be fighting with their own confidence just as we are battling for the top four, and they're still battling for La Liga. You know, they're I think they're 4 points off the top at the moment, so they'll be needing this for their confidence as much as they need it to kind of go further into the competition. So I think that a draw isn't a bad result, it's like I said, especially if we score, but at the same time, if I'm being brutally honest, based on our form, and I know that they've been in decent form recently as well, but I would expect us to come away from a win. And although a draw would be slightly disappointing, it wouldn't be the most disappointing result. If we lost, I'd be thoroughly disappointed.
Yeah. Okay, Matt, are you echoing those thoughts, or you just think that anything less than a win is a fuck up?
I think anything less than a win is a fuck up. It's a massive chance to beat Madrid in their own backyard, and then take it back to Anfield with one foot in the quarters, right? Or semis? Semis. One foot in the semis. Especially considering, you know, the potential semi-final draw that we could have in either Porto or Chelsea. And I say this now, but obviously if we go and get thumped tomorrow during the game, then a draw is a completely different. Like, if Madrid deserve the win and we escape with a draw, then fuck it. Yeah, I'm buzzing. But right now, looking at it beforehand, I think anything less than a win is failure.
Okay, yeah, I think I agree with you on that one, mate. I think the way the team's playing at the minute in terms of the confidence seems to be growing game by game, doesn't it, Mick? And I'm quite impressed with the lads with every performance that we put, you know, with the either side of the Leipzig game and then obviously the game at the weekend against Arsenal. I think the game against Arsenal was the best we've performed since Palace away. I'll go on a limb and say that, you know, forget the Champions League. I'm going to say that was the best performance. So I think the confidence in this side is growing, and obviously the we're getting quite solid at the back now. I think Kabak and Phillips are being absolutely fantastic. And the longer this goes on, the more we're getting Istanbul 7 vibes and getting really excited and stuff like that. And, you know, no one's saying Virgil van Hoo. We're not got to that fucking stage yet. But if that meme keeps propping up where these two have got their fucking hands around that fucking trophy, you know, the more I get very giddy about it. But Mick, I think confidence is key, isn't it, going into this? And are you like with Matt, it's anything less than a win is a bad result?
I think so. I think if we would have played this game like last month, I would have been like, yeah,
that's a good point.
Give me a draw, give me a 0-0, give me a 1-1. But the way, like you said, Jay, like we've started to pick up this momentum, good win at Leipzig, getting through to the next round, beating Wolves in a tricky away game, then battering Arsenal, our best ever win there in terms of deficit, like scoring three and getting a 3-0 win away to Arsenal, and then now going on to this, it is like we're starting to climb the steps a little bit in terms of getting that what's the word I'm looking for? Confidence, bit of getting used to each other. And like you said, Jay, like Kabak and Phillips, I think after the Arsenal game, I think one of them said, Martin Tyler or Gary Neville, I don't know, they're both knobheads. One of them said, me and you could have played centre-half tonight. And I was like, so disrespectful. So disrespectful to, I mean, Arsenal weren't great, but every time Kabak and Phillips had to do something, they'd done it so simply and they made it look easy. So they're starting to look really good together, and that's what we've wanted. Fab back in midfield, doing well. Hotter coming in, scoring two. Salah getting a goal. Mane still looking sharp, but not being quite there yet. And I think I'm hoping tomorrow's the game where Mane is sharp, but also gets a goal and starts to kick on and put the ball in the back of net, because he has been. He was exceptionally sharp against Arsenal, and it just wasn't. I think it's just there's a bit of confidence there for him where he was through on the left channel a few times, and you just want him to curl that far corner or just belt it as hard as he can. He just chose the wrong option. So I'm hoping tomorrow will be the end of that for him. He gets on a little run, but that'd be nice.
I'm liking that, mate. Just before I come on to the last talking point, gents, just going to go through a couple of the comments here as well. Ben Priest talked about Morientes was quite harshly treating his only year, to be honest. To be fair, he was, mate. I mean, at the end of the day, during that period, we were very light on striker talent, weren't we, really? And he didn't really get the best rub of the green. But, you know, maybe I think he was probably past his best there. Paul Dennison saying he'd take a score draw. It's an interesting one there, especially if you get an away goal anyway. It's always nice positive. So I see where Paul's coming from there. Ben Priest, I'd only take a draw if we played badly. If we played really well and got a score draw, then it's a bit dodgy. Absolutely very, very good point there. Tim O'Dana said anything other than two wins will be devastating at the moment. Madrid are woeful. That's a very good point, and it ties into what we've been saying about form. You know, we are coming into a really, really good form. But when Paul's saying he hopes for a 2-0 win, absolutely, that'd be really good. Ben back in there as well. I feel like we need the run of wins to get top four, to be honest. Absolutely, you know, it does seem like top four is forming a little bit better for us in terms of the way the last few weeks have gone. You know, the table is looking a little bit nicer and a little bit kinder too, especially after Everton dropping points as well. But, you know, if someone can update me on the West Ham score, I've just seen the comments about Jesse Lingard being a knobhead. That, I must assume that West Ham must be winning. So that's obviously bad news. But again, the fixtures can be very, very kind to us going forward. Having had four clean sheets on the bounce, Chris Kelly saying a 0-0 draw is terrible because we should score. We'll have plenty of chances. Yeah, it's a good point. I think Real Madrid will get got at, depending whether Mick, they play that at the back three or they play a back four. I do think we will create some chances. And it's going to be really, really exciting. But what I want to do is just finish on a positive in terms of, you know, memories, and let's get the juice, the old juices flowing of getting build up the excitement. Madrid memories, boys. I know there's not that many in the can in terms of our generation and stuff. Obviously, we won a European Cup against Real Madrid when Kennedy scored a nice cheeky goal on the inside near post in the 80s. So let's fathom that, and there's only one tie we can really talk about in terms of positive memories about Madrid. But you can only pick one moment out of that double legger. So, Mick, I'm going to come to you. Your favourite moment from the Madrid tie. Obviously, we're not going to talk about the fucking group stage in 2014-15 because that was a load of bollocks. But Mick, 08-09, have you got your favourite moment out of that Madrid tie?
I to be honest, I liked the other game where Ben Ayoun scored the winner. That was at the time, that was like, because I think we were away first, weren't we, in that time. So I was reminiscing that, I think it was yesterday, and I remember Van der Vaart saying that we're scared of them, and then we went to the Bernabeu, beat them 1-0, and then we battered them 4-0 at home and beat them 5-0 in aggregate, and it was just like the ultimate fuck you. It was just, but yeah, the Ben Ayoun goal, and obviously the home leg where Torres just absolutely took the piss, and I'm hoping for Salah levels of that tomorrow against them for a bit of a revenge. But yeah, I think what Chris has said there, to be honest, the Gerrard side foot volley.
Whoa. You had what fucking one. Don't tackle him through the whole fucking game, mate. You had one fucking
Gerrard goal, because that was just epitomised his absolute quality. Just setting the scene, boys. Setting the scene. No, I go for Gerrard because that showed his quality. Not a great ball in by Babel, but the way he controlled that and put it past Casillas was just world class.
Tim, do you want to have a go or not?
If there's any left.
Yeah, I just, to be honest, though, it's certainly the home leg. I just, the one thing I came away with was the fact that it could have, if it wasn't for Casillas, it could have been double digits. Every time I watch the highlights, I'm outstanding at the amount of saves where I thought, bloody hell, he's done well there. Like, he should not have saved that. And it was, I'm talking four or five in the game, and, you know, it was everyone chipping in, Torres, Gerrard, and everyone was just, it was one of those evenings where just everything clicked for absolutely everyone, and everyone was just in peak condition and in peak form. So, yeah, I always remember that night as one of the sweeter ones in Europe, and certainly seeing Gerrard boss that midfield was you know, sensational.
Yes, all right, indeed, Tim, mate. Just pick one. No, I loved as well. I'll carry on a little bit longer. The one with the bit where Gerrard like fizzes it into Torres, and Torres does like a little back heel and goes round him, and then Casillas saves it. Yeah, there you go, Matt. Up to you.
Oh, are you finished? Oh, okay. Just
check.
Go on, Matt.
Is there anything left to say?
No, sorry, fella, we're all done. There's only been six games, so
I'll take Torres' goal just because it's the first goal he ever scored against Real Madrid. So that was buzzing. I thought Pepe got fouled as well, but it was nice to see us get away with it.
Yeah,
definitely.
To be fair, mate, I knew you picked Torres, I knew, because he's your baby at the end of the day. But it was a good celebration, that, where he's like doing that at the back of his shirt. I did enjoy that. Yeah. There were some good ones in also there.
Like, Ben Ayoun scoring the header when we won at the Bernabeu made me laugh more than anything, because he was the shortest fucker on the pitch.
It was good, wasn't it? I mean, if you have a look at some of the lads in the comment, Ben said the Sainz goal. Obviously, Mick, that was quite funny when, like, you see De Sena scoring against Madrid United in the same. It was a great week for Liverpool, wasn't it? You know, scoring four against Real Madrid United in the same week, which is really good. But yeah, De Sena getting on the end one was really, really good.
Wasn't De Sena really weird as well? Because wasn't it like him and Mascherano on the break 2-1-1? It's like, why the fuck are these two up front?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was. It was mad. Tim, have you got that plug?
Yeah.
Thanks, mate. Just warming up here. Warming up. So, Tim's got the plug out. Here we go. Right. So Ben has put Spearing versus Madrid. Absolutely, it was. It was Jay Spearing's debut in the Champions League, and everyone was shouting, "There's only one Jay Spiro." Just about after he had Guti and the other fella in his back pocket. Can't remember what it is, but I tell you what, Jay will tell you himself, because on our channel we have a really good interview with Jay Spearing. He talks all about the Real Madrid game, and he goes into it in really, really big detail. So it's a really, really good shout. So Ben, thank you very much for mentioning that, because while you're here on the channel, go and check out our interview with Jake Spearman, where he talks about Real Madrid. So it was really good. Thank you for the plug. There's the cheap plug. Thank you very much.
Plug that motherfucker, man.
Plug that fucking thing. Just get the views up on Jake Spearman. He'll fucking won't thank me for it. Anyway, so yeah, so that is our Real Madrid preview. I am fucking buzzing for this game. I'm going to go put the fucking highlights on for the two-legged affair. I'm not going to put the highlights on about Brendan Rodgers because I might fucking put myself in depression. But it's good to look back at the negative thing because it makes you even more fucking biteful, which is why it's quite easy to watch the Kiev game because we won it a year later. Do you know what I mean? But it's one is.
Yeah.
Boys.
Fun fact about that Real Madrid game, I went and I left at half-time.
Which one?
What?
The 2014 one.
Oh, the group stage back. We got passed, you know. Fair enough.
I was like, should we go and get a bevy? Yeah, go on, let's go.
Yeah, get a biscuit bevy, lad. Don't blame me. Right, quickly, score predictions. Michael.
Fuck it, I'm going 2-0 again. 2-0 to the Reds. Bring it on.
You're right, son. I love that. Tim, what are we doing?
3-1 Liverpool. 3-1. I think we're gonna see goals across the front three, and I think they might nick one at the end just to make the tie interesting. But the proof's in the pudding. Just said that just to wind my dad up. Really, I don't really have anything else to say after that.
Fair play.
Matthew,
finally to yourself. Go on.
4-1 Bobby hat-trick, and then Nat Phillips.
Oh, I love it. Bobby Hattrick again. Do you know what?
I was close.
I actually can't wait. I can't wait for the day Bobby Firmino gets a hat trick. Even if it might not is for Liverpool in the next few years, but the day he gets a hat trick, I need to see Matthew. I don't know so where you're going to be, but I need to see you that day. That'd be fucking amazing.
I mean, Bobby could transfer to fucking Tottenham, score a hat trick against us at Anfield, and I think I might still celebrate it.
You know what? You're going to fall from upper rock to lower rock when fucking Bobby scores at Atra. You're going to be tumbling down that fucking rock faster than anyone.
Brilliant. Right, Chris Kelly's gone for 2-0. Brian Connolly has gone for 2-1 at Liverpool. Salah both the goals. 18-0 for Ben. Love it. Chris Kelly's going to hit one with a Nat Phillips header. Yeah, fucking hell. How much are we buzzing if Phillips or Kabak get a fucking goal? It'd be brilliant. It's in the eating. It proves in the pudding. I love it. And UK, hello to you in Orange County in California. 2-0 to Liverpool. Took a day off for tomorrow. Absolutely fucking spot on. Good for you. And she's laughing at 18-0 as well. Matthew, go.
If Nat Phillips scores tomorrow, do you think he's going to like channel his inner Jordan Henderson with a celebration? Do you think he's going to be like one of these pissed off bastards when he scores?
Yeah, I hope so. It's mad that, isn't it? Because Endo's just so fucking angry when he scores.
Yeah, I reckon he might do what Vardy did to that corner flag, but with his head.
I reckon that's what if Phillips scores, I reckon he's going to drop a cuddle.
Brilliant. Ben's got oatmeal that comes on and snaps someone's legs with 5 minutes camera at the end. Yeah, absolutely. That'd be great, Ben, when we're fucking 3-0 up after the Bobby hat-trick. That'd be fucking brilliant. Well, listen, it's been a fucking great preview. That fucking 40 minutes has flown by. Really appreciate everybody's in the comments again, and obviously we just love you to pieces as well. Obviously, appreciate to Manscaped for sponsoring this show. Obviously, you get 20% off with the code COPHYPE, but Pod Your Balls will thank you for that, and we really appreciate those guys as well. They're in support with some fantastic charities as well, so do check them out if you can. We appreciate it. We'll be here for team news tomorrow, and obviously we'll be there for the review show again as per usual. And as you know, I'm going to play the video, boys. I don't really give a shit. I'm playing it. I put a lot of effort into it. It's fucking getting played. My thanks to lads as per usual. We're fucking great together. I love it when we do these, boys. Really appreciate it. And yeah, up the fucking Reds. Come on, big day tomorrow. Champions League, it's back, quarter final. That's what we fucking live for.
What, you think you can rely on that crane crap?
Well, I did pretty well with it last time.
Hey, wake up and smell the coffee, Mr. LaRusso. Last time you weren't fighting this. You don't get it, do you? Visualize. This is not a bunch of sticks and pipes anymore. This is a living, breathing, fighting machine that wants to detach your head from the rest of your body. Blood. So what? Make believe it's his. This guy wants to break you.
humiliate you, stomp you into the ground. Now what are you going to do about it?
Now.
Then do it. Oh, yes. You did it.
I did it.
You did it. You nailed it. You nailed it. Oh, you're ready. You're ready.
I'm ready.
Oh, man. Woo!
Podcast Network.